one game. An NBA Finals seventh game. One game, the difference between basketball immortality and crushing disappointment. One game, a chance to become a legend, a hero, a champion.
What motivates me now more than ever is winning another championship.
It's going to take heart. It's going to take an uncanny amount of energy and strength.
To win a championship, it was one of the most emotional times of my life because that's what I play for.
One game, a chance for a legacy to grow. One final game. A season-long journey draws to a close.
Top of the world! Top of the world!
Hello, and welcome back to the Over and Back Classic NBA podcast at HarvardProxism.com. I am Jason Mann, and with me as always is Rich Kraich. Rich, glad to be with you.
Absolutely. We finally, the end of our journey of you know, breaking down these Game 7s, and we've come, like the NBA season, to the final point. The NBA Finals, and this is it's gonna be a monster kind of series of shows we're gonna do here, and I'm definitely looking forward to it though. A lot of research, a lot of work put in, and it's just good information too. I mean, what's better than a NBA Finals Game 7? Like, come on.
Yeah. So we're gonna do something a little different. We're gonna do some bite-sized looks at the Game 7s of the NBA Finals, all 18 of them. We're going to do a 8-part series, breaking down 2 or 3 each. Yeah, we think it'll be interesting. It'll be kind of it'll be neat to look at. There's obviously a wide variety of games, although many of them involve the Lakers and the Celtics. So we're talking about
unfortunately,
them lost,
but that's okay. But that's gonna happen.
It's NBA history. So
it's like if we did a baseball, but we talk about the Yankees probably like 70% of the time. It just you can't. There's nothing you can do,
nothing
right?
You can do no. So you blame the Hawks for trading Bill Russell, I guess. So
right, yeah, it's all their fault, really. Yeah. It's really the St. Louis Hawks' fault.
It really is, exactly. So. So we'll be getting into that soon, but of course you can check us out on Facebook at Over and Back NBA, on Twitter at Over and Back NBA as well. You can find the Hardwood Paroxysm iTunes feed with all the with us and all the other great Podium Game podcasts that are on there. It would be great if you could leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps people find the shows. Yeah, and
More people listening, more people interacting on Twitter, more fun, more topic requests and stuff. It's perfect.
Yeah,
just do it.
So we would
come on.
Any any feedback that we can get on what we're doing, positive or negative, we definitely appreciate it. So that's what makes the show better.
Yeah, and if you have any topic ideas, I mean, and I mentioned that sort of haphazardly, but it's true. I mean, there's been numerous shows where someone said, it'd be pretty cool if you guys talked about blah, blah, blah. And then we like do a little cursory research and we're like, yeah, that would be a great show if we talked about blah, blah, blah or whatever. So let us, what's your blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
Send it. We'd like to know.
Send us your blah, blah, blah. All right. Well, on to the show. All right, we're back, and series number 8 is the Houston Rockets versus the New York Knicks in 1994, a 90-84 win for the Rockets over the Knicks. And one interesting thing for me about this is that it's kind of rare for the superstars on each team in a finals and in a game 7 of a finals to actually be the guys going against each other. But in this case, it really is, a lot of it is Ewing versus Olajuwon.
Yeah, no, you definitely look at that series and those or this particular series and those two guys. I mean, they were the pillars of these two teams in a lot of ways. And these guys, they didn't really cross paths as much as we would sort of kind of think or hope or you would sort of assume. I mean, this was, these aren't like in quite. I don't want to say they're out of their prime, but you know what I mean. Like this is almost 10 years into their careers. And this is when they finally meet, and this is the big culmination of their their long runs as these dominant big men or whatever. It's unique in a lot of ways, but yeah, it is these two dudes basically, and a lot of guys around them.
Yeah, these are probably the two guys who when they were drafted would have been expected to dominate the league.
Oh, absolutely. And you would assume this happened 2 years into their run or 3 years into their run, but it took it's a long time.
Yeah, but part of it was of course the the Lakers and Celtics hanging on. on and being great for longer than you might, you know, have expected them to be. Part of it, you know, and the biggest part of it, of course, was, you know, Jordan, his rise and him being the dominant player of the generation, which, you know, was not that people didn't expect him to be great, but expecting him to be that great was, you know, impossible to predict. So it, that kind of delayed, you know, because obviously Ewan was always being eliminated, you know, by Jordan, or often by Jordan, and you know, the Rockets not getting through for, you know, kind of various reasons, but yeah, we got it here, and you know, it wasn't the prettiest basketball, but it was definitely some
nope.
You know, so an epic series for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you mentioned, yeah, pretty, not quite there, but in terms of point differentials, I mean, you cannot, this series is legendary for that. I mean, game one, you know, 7-point differential, game two, 8 points, game three, 4, game four, 9, game five, 7, game six, 2, and then this one, 6. I mean, that's insane. Yeah. Like, that's just, it's just unfathomable to have that close. I mean, when 9 is like an insurmountable lead, and that's, you know, I mean, obviously a lot of times we look at these games and you know, what was a close game kind of gets lost because of free throws or whatever. It didn't, in this game, it did not matter. I mean, every single one of them, you know, right down to the wire. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And real quick, I do want to, just a quick aside as well, this series, not necessarily this game seven, but the series is famous because it was right during the famed OJ Simpson white Bronco chase as well. So they cut in when they always talk about how this, you know, there's the ESPN 30 for 30 about how this, I believe it was game one, correct?
I thought it was game five, but I was checking that right.
You might be. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot exactly which game it was. But yeah, basically one of the games got sort of put to the side while the famed, you know, one of the famous car chases in American history, one of the, you know, famous sort of eras or summers or whatever the hell you want to call it in American history, is the O.J. Simpson, you know, chase, arrest, trial, all that madness that happened, which seems so silly in retrospect, but at the time it was the thing. I know my parents would like run home and trip over themselves to like turn on the TV to see like what's going on in the courtroom today. Like, oh, who's taking the stand? It's like, what is going on? Like, what is this? Why are we watching this? And it's O.J. Simpson. Like, he's a big deal, but like,
yeah, I guess
that big of a deal.
I guess like, if you grew up, like, yeah, it's hard to explain how, yeah, if you didn't live through that, how just big a deal that was. Yeah, it was game five, by the way. But
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, having an even worse month than O.J. Simpson, I think, was John Starks.
I don't know about that. I mean, it was pretty bad. But
at least in this game, great. 2 of 18.
Yeah, in this game.
Yeah, 0 yeah. of 11 from 3, not so good.
Well, you got to keep shooting.
Yeah, yeah. Rhythm, shooters have right? to shoot. Right. Yeah, don't worry about
Jared
efficiency.
Smith.
Yeah.
This is Jared Smith's game. Right. He has this game on repeat. It's,
yeah.
It's what he lives for. But yeah, it's funny, in doing the research for this particular game and trying to figure stuff out, I looked and every article about this game, every like long form article, everything always seemed to focus on John Starks and how bad he was and how people still to this day are like, hey man, remember how awful you were? And he's like, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks.
Like I'm well aware that I was terrible in that game. I totally understand, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was good in like a lot of the other games in the series, yeah. But nobody cares about those. But yeah, it's quite funny how that's really just become the story out of the series and out of this, you know, in this game in particular, which is just, I mean, you know, 2 of 18 is just, it's not even that. The 0 of 11 from 3. Like, after, like, 6, I'd be like, you know what? It's fine. Like, I'll just drive and see what happens and get to the line. But no, he did John Starks' thing, so that did not happen. But, yeah, Derek Harper and Ewing definitely carried the load. Harper in particular had a great game, 23 points on 50% shooting. And then Ewing had 17 points on his own, but didn't shoot particularly well. He was 7 of 17. Not all great stuff. But the Rockets, they were mostly Hakeem and Vernon Maxwell, and they combined for 46 of Houston's 90 points in that series, or that game rather. So a lot of Hakeem just kind of putting the team on his back and winning the series in a lot by himself. So
yeah, I mean, Olajuwon was just so good. I mean, not only, of course, you know, the production they have, but getting the ball to, you know, the other players. And, I mean, the Rockets, the shooters, you know, they had, you know, Kenny Smith, Sam Cassell, you know, a lot of guys, you know, Ori. I mean, they had a lot of, and they were a pretty young team too for the, you know, I mean, obviously Olajuwon was older and, but you know, they had quite a few guys who, you know, kind of later had, you know, got clutch reputations and part from the series. But you know, Ori was 23, Sam Cassell was 24, you know, they had, yeah, I guess the guys were more in regular age. Kenny Smith was 28.
Yeah, this is before they had Drexler, too. So yeah. Because people sort of forget that this wasn't, there was a year without Drexler that they won, and it would be the next year where they would get him. And then, you know, next year after that, they would get a lot older.
They got real old, yeah, real quick.
Yeah, but, with Barkley and stuff, and then became, just a team where, you know, in the late 90s was just like everybody was like 35 on that team, and they were just super old. But yeah, this is still a very young, you know, Rockets team, just, you know, anchored by an older Hakeem that was still largely in his prime, but kind of on the way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, he still had a number of good years, and, you know, he was still an MVP level player for a few more years, but he was he was 32-ish, you know, he was an older guy. It was a close game throughout, and Rockets led most of the way. They, LaJuan hit a 6-foot hook, and then Maxwell hit a 3-pointer with 1:48 left. The Rockets were up 83-75, and they were basically able to hold on from there. And Rudy Tomjanovich, the coach, he was a member of the Rockets as a player, scout, assistant coach, and head coach for all 24 years since he left Michigan as a player in 1970. So,
and then he ruined it by doing the terrible Lakers.
Yes. He's still a consultant. I think he's still a consultant for the Lakers, actually.
Really? I did not know that.
I believe
that.
Wow. So. At least up until a couple of years ago, he still was. So I guess he just scouted reports. I don't know. Yeah.
It's like horrifying to see him on a Lakers bench. I don't know why.
It was weird.
Like,
yes.
Every time I see that, I'm always like, ooh, yeah, that did happen. Yeah. Like, I forget about it. And, like, it was a big deal. It was, like, a big contract. And, like, I remember it being a huge deal at the time. But it's just, like, so icky now when you look back at it. It's like, oh, no, no.
Well, you know, I mean, he'd win shit. He was a great – yeah, I mean, he had a great reputation as a coach. I mean, he had those championships and everything. So,
Looks like you stayed with the Lakers. Yeah, you're right. I just looked up right now. He's still a consultant. So there you go. Which means they probably are still paying out his contract, but instead have decided to load it over a course of a year or courses of years, which I'm assuming is what they did instead of just.
He's been with the Lakers getting close to about as long as he was with the Rockets. I mean, he's still got 2 years left to do that, but that's it's been more than 10 years he's been with the Lakers. So
yeah, you forget 2004 is. A long time
ago.
Now I feel old and I want to cry. So thank you.
So speaking of a long time ago, our next game is the Boston Celtics beating the Los Angeles Lakers in 1969 of all.
I'm not going to talk about it. This is all you. I'm sick of talking. I'm not doing it anymore.
Okay. Well, you know.
No, I'm joking.
108.
Did Bill Russell have a good game with a lot of rebounds?
He did pretty well. He had 21 rebounds. He only had 6 points. He did have six assists. So
changes up on us.
This was his last game. This, of course, was the Celtics' 11th title in 13 years. The seventh time they'd beaten the Lakers in that span, as we mentioned before. Celtics actually, they were fourth in the East at 48-34, though they were second in the NBA and SRS. So they were a stronger team than they initially appeared, but they had to go through more playoff rounds than they were used to. For most of the time, you know, during their run, there were 8 or 9 teams. They only had to go through 2 playoff runs because they usually won their division. Later on, you know, as expansion started to happen, there were more teams and they did have an extra round to go through. They were older, so it was a little bit more of a challenge, but they were able to, you know, pull through this year. The Lakers they won the West at 55-27, but they were actually fifth in the league in SRS. So again, maybe not quite as good as they looked at like on paper. Havlicek had 26-9-5. Sam Jones had 21-7, and Emmitt Bryant had 20-5. West had 42-13-12 in this game, which is pretty great. He famously won the Finals MVP despite the loss, and it was actually the first time the Finals MVP was ever awarded as well. The only time it has gone to a player on a losing team,
And probably rightfully so.
Yeah, I would say so. You know, it'll be interesting. You know, we're going into the. We're going into the, and in fact, we're probably being played now as you listen to this, the Warriors Cavs finals. And it will be interesting to see what kind of
we should react to the games that haven't happened.
Right.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, what kind of lines?
That was really remarkable what Steph Curry did last night.
Yeah. It was great. Yeah. LeBron was really good too.
Was he? Yeah.
I wonder, in fact, if LeBron could play well enough to be considered for a finals MVP, even if his team loses in the series. Yeah.
I wish they most certainly probably will, right?
Yeah, it's definitely
or not.
Possible.
I mean, that's silly because they're obviously winning. Or are they?
It's a mystery.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think, Dave?
Future us are definitely going to have opinions about this.
This are, yeah. Yes. Hot takes.
I guess present us in the future.
Yeah, present us. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So, Elgin Baylor, 20 and 15. Wilt was 18 and 27, but if free throw shooting gets him again, 4 of 13 from the free throw line. Jack Ken Cook made the Lakers owner made everybody very mad by putting I guess he put proceedings of Lakers victory ceremony on game leaflets that the Celtics saw. There were also balloons up in the rafters, and Bill Russell, ever the competitor, noticed the slide during warmups and barked at Jerry West. Those blank balloons are staying up there. I don't know what word it was. I'm gonna go ahead and guess it was an F word, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that would be damn.
That would make
sense. I'm sure it wasn't
those
damn
balloons. Sure. Yes. Those darn balloons.
Those gosh darn balloons are not.
The Celtics had a big lead early in the fourth quarter, but at the 5:45 mark, Wilt went up for a defensive rebound, hurt his knee, asked to be taken out. So coach Butch Fad Bredlikoff sent in Mel Counts. West actually was able to sort of cut. The Lakers were then able to cut the lead, and Counts actually played well, made a couple of jumpers, and then made it a 1-point game. At that point, Wilt was ready to come back in, but Van Predlikoff said, "We're doing well enough without you, and you don't have to come in." Later on, Jerry West was very angry when he heard that Predlikoff did this, and in fact, Predlikoff was fired after this game. So. Not a great decision by him. And you can tell, like, late in the game, as like the, you know, Boston and LA are, you know, trading baskets or trading possessions, and there are definitely times where, like, you know, Counts is being beat where you could see, like, you know, Chamberlain might be able to get a rebound there or be able to score there instead of, right. You know, so it seems like it was a bad decision. And the, I guess the most famous play down the stretch here was where, like, West knocks the ball out of Havlicek's hands, and then Don Nelson just, you know, manages to pick it up at the free throw line, threw it up, and then it hit the rim, bounced up, and then just sinks right through the, switches right through the rim. It's just like it was foreordained to go through.
Yeah, it's a very weird shot. You've seen it. I'm sure people have seen it, the highlight, a lot, but yeah, it's an odd highlight.
Yeah, and then at that point, the Celtics hold on to win the game and win their final championship, 11 of 13, 11 titles for Russell, 10 for Sam Jones, and you know, pretty great run for a lot of great players.
I'd say pretty okay.
Yeah, and another heartbreak for Jerry West and Elgin Baylor.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Will Chamberlain in a lot of ways too.
Well, but. Yeah, but he hadn't been in the Lakers that long to feel the
exactly.
Heartbreak. Yeah. Of course, he knew.
He knew.
Had his own heartbreak against Bill Russell. Right. Yeah,
he's like, look, if we come together, we can finally beat the.
So yeah, anything else to say about this series?
No, I'm Lakers and Celtics. They are good franchises at basketball. So that's about all I can say.
They are
that.
Good. All right, so. We'll be back with a another episode covering the finals of the Game 7 soon. So check it out.